Welcome to the Hornets Hivecast, the official podcast of your Charlotte Hornets. Here's your host, Sam Farber.
Welcome to another edition of the Hornets Hivecast, your daily podcast with all the notes, quotes, and daily buzz around your favorite NBA team, the Charlotte Hornets. I'm Sam Farber, and it is a pleasure and a privilege to have you with us once again. It's a game day edition. Hornets looking to snap what has been their season's longest losing streak thus far, four games. It matches their previous high, hoping to not set a new one tonight when they take on the Portland Trailblazers. So we'll give you the details on that, give you the latest we've heard in terms of the inactive report, whether or not Charlotte will have all of their pieces back. Well, they're not going to have all of their pieces back, but whether or not they'll get some of their pieces back, certainly something we are keeping an eye on. And there is another party that has weighed in on the Rookie of the Year debate. Was the news good for LaMelo Ball? We'll let you know right here on the HHC. To help me out with all these topics, we've got Rob Longo, my producer on the Hornets Radio Network, back with us. Rob, how are you?
I'm well, Sam. Always excited when game day rolls around. What about you?
It's always good on game day. Hornets taking on the Portland Trailblazers today and hoping they'll get healthier. But let's start off on the Rookie of the Year topic. It's one of our favorites here on the HHC. It has been, with all the injuries going on, there's not a whole lot of positive news to put out there on that front because they've been so shorthanded. It's like playing basketball with a hand tied behind your back, trying to win these games in the NBA with so many premium scorers on the shelf due to injury. But Rookie of the Year has been a fun story for us all throughout the season. Well, fun-ish. Another party has weighed in on whether or not LaMelo Ball should be in consideration for Rookie of the Year. It's The Athletic, one of the top publications out there. Zach Harper put out his latest edition of his NBA award rankings. I think there are some wrinkles out there that I don't love, one being James Borrego not even being on the mentioned list for Coach of the Year. But in terms of Rookie of the Year, he still keeps LaMelo Ball at number one. And for me, at least, I think he's got the order right. He has been going with Tyrese Haliburton and Anthony Edwards as the other two in his top three. Previously, he's had Haliburton number two. I personally don't understand that one right now based off how the statistics go. I think that's a bit of a reach. But right now, he's got Edwards number two, and LaMelo Ball is the clear number one. So another party weighing in. The rookie ladder has clearly not had LaMelo Ball anywhere near number one, but at least for this publication, that's where LaMelo remains.
I think the interesting thing that Zach talks about is his criteria for Rookie of the Year. And the first thing that he lists is, are you a big story in the NBA? And I thought that was interesting because if you put it that way, if you survey everybody that is a casual NBA fan and you say, name one person out of this rookie class. Some of them, you know, might say Anthony Edwards because he was the number one overall pick and they might have watched a draft and whatnot. But I would be willing to bet that a lot of them would say LaMelo Ball. And that's just because he's been that big of an impact for the Hornets. And of course, Anthony Edwards has played really well as of late, pretty much ever since the All-Star break. And he is starting to put up those eye-popping numbers. I just think that's an interesting little wrinkle that they throw in there. And the other thing he says is cool stats for a rookie. And the stat line that everybody really liked to throw around when LaMelo Ball was in the height of his rookie season a couple weeks ago was the numbers that he was on par with close to Oscar Robertson. And everybody was looking at those numbers. So that kind of meets the cool stats for a rookie criteria. And then the third one is team success. And that's what we've put a lot of stock into here in Charlotte is the Hornets having a lot more success than, say, the Timberwolves, just based on record and how competitive that the Hornets have been this season compared to Minnesota. So if you go by Zach's criteria, it's a no-brainer that he's number one on his list.
One of the things that Zach Harper puts in his story that, you know, shows maybe a reason why LaMelo won't get it is something that he has not agreed with in the past, and that is the 2017 vote, which was Malcolm Brogdon's year winning Rookie of the Year. He points that one out specifically as a year he thought that the voters got it wrong, the reason being that he thought Joel Embiid was clearly the best rookie that was seen all season, but because he played in so few games, wink, wink, hint, hint, he didn't win that award. The voters ended up going in another direction with Malcolm Brogdon, who was more available and also had a very good rookie season. I think that does leave the door open because that's been the most consistent argument against LaMelo Ball to this point. that he's just not going to be available enough. And we talk about this all the time, Rob. I think the fact that you're not making a huge change in how many games percentage-wise a player plays for his team compared to how many available there would be based off history makes it far more palatable, I would assume, for voters to still go to LaMelo Ball. We're not talking about going from 60% of your games to 50%. We're saying, hey, you wanted him to play 45, he played 42. Why are we quibbling over this? But it's there in the article. It's there in black and white and read all over the internet. He points it out specifically. This is a time where I didn't agree with the voting, but based off the criteria I'm using, my criteria didn't stand up to what the overall voting population went with.
Well, and the other thing, too, is when you look at the numbers, Tyrese Haliburton's played 7 more games than LaMelo up until this point, and I'm sure that number will grow. Same with Anthony Edwards. He's played 15 more than LaMelo up until this point, but I think if LaMelo is able to come back, if everything looks good with the wrist and he's able to do whatever sort of rehab that he needs to be 100% to hit the floor, I think that just kind of settles it in a sense. He doesn't have to put up those eye-popping numbers that he was putting up before the injury. As long as he is consistent and as long as the Hornets win, I think at that point, I don't think that there's any voter out there that can vote against him in that sense, because he's done all that he possibly could to achieve that award.
And it honestly, it might be one reason that I've got this wrong, because I look at these award ladders, this voting, as a, if everything stopped right now, how would it go? And that's maybe the biggest part of the reason I've felt LaMelo should always be number one, because percentage-wise, in terms of number of games played, for right now, he has met the criteria. So I think voters who put these things out should say, hey, if it ended right now, if everything stopped as is, how would you vote? And maybe most of the ladders out there are saying, no, I'm going to assume everything continues from here on out. Whoever's healthy remains healthy. Whoever's not remains not. And assume the statistics will carry on as they have been, and then base the voting there. So maybe that's one of the reasons I'm miscalibrated on things like the rookie ladder. But in any case, it's nice to see someone else agreeing with me that LaMelo Ball, at least for now, is the rookie of the year. We'll keep an eye on all those throughout the season. Coming up next, there is a game tonight. Hornets taking on the Trailblazers. Health has been a concern here for the Hornets. It's been the main reason they've hit so many roadblocks as of late. We'll talk about the latest next here on the Hornets Livecast.
Hornets fans, during the month of April, the Charlotte Hornets and their official hunger relief partner, Food Lion Feeds, are launching the 2021 Dunk Hunger Food Drive to benefit Second Harvest Food Bank of Metro Atlanta.
The Bridges, who throws it down with a right hand.
For every Hornets dunk this month,
slams it down with two hands.
Food Lion will donate 1,000 meals.
Terry Rozier throws it down over Kevin Durant.
For more information on how you can help Food Lion and the Hornets dunk hunger, visit hornets.com/dunkhunger.
Sam Farber and Rob Longo here with you on the HHC. Hornets taking on the Trailblazers tonight. Rob will talk about the specific matchup later on, but we want to talk about the health of the team. It's been a major stumbling block for the squad. They have lost 4 in a row. Since Gordon Hayward was injured, they have been 2-4, and even more specifically, because I think the Gordon Hayward was really the injury that possibly is the straw that broke the camel's back, if you will, for the Hornets. But if you want to boil it down even more, since PJ Washington has gone out, they've been 0-3. And I've been on record before saying I think PJ Washington is kind of a linchpin to this team offensively and defensively, regardless whether it's his injury that really made it too much to overcome, or Gordon Hayward, the one before it. Either way, this team has not won very much, seldom if at all, since these injuries started to pile up. We finally got a little bit of daylight yesterday from the injury update. Just a little bit, though. Devontae Graham was listed as questionable with his quad contusion. PJ Washington was listed as questionable with his ankle sprain. LaMelo Ball, Nate Darling, Gordon Hayward, Malik Monk were all still listed out. Questionable is an interesting diagnosis, because I think the last time PJ Washington went into a game day without being listed as out, he was listed as probable, and then things, for lack of a better term, deteriorated from there. But for now, listed as questionable, it leaves some daylight and some hope for Hornets fans.
It certainly does. I mean, at this point, as long as you don't add to the injury report and you just kind of swap the words around a little bit, I think it's good news. So Devontae coming back, maybe, with a questionable prognosis, and the same with P.J. Washington is definitely big because we saw what Vernon Carey Jr. can do after Friday's game. He is capable of scoring 20 points. Is he capable of playing sound defense like P.J. Washington? It's hard to tell based off Friday's game just because of the offensive power that a team like the Brooklyn Nets has with so many scorers that can score so many different ways. So I don't think that's a fair assessment on what Vernon Carey Jr. can do on the defensive end of the floor. We know what P.J. Washington is capable of doing. I mean, there was that game a couple weeks ago where he didn't score a point, but he still ended up being a positive on the plus minus by, I think, 2, 3, or maybe even 4 points, just because his defense is that good. And you're able to salvage some of those minutes when he's not on the floor when you bring the Martin brothers in to a certain extent, but that only lasts so long. So, and the other thing too with Devontae possibly coming back is having that true number one point guard. Not to say that Terry Rozier can't do it, but I think Terry is more comfortable in that number two spot where he can worry more about scoring and less about facilitating. Obviously, he can do it because he had a double-double with points and assists on Friday, but I just think he's more comfortable in that number two spot just based on him playing there the majority of the season and the majority of his career.
Yeah, I think, you know, with Terry's skill set, he has been and really should be looking for his shot first. You know, if the lane's open for him to drive, the team wants him to. And so being the receiver of passes rather than the distributor kind of lends itself to that, and particularly on catch and shoot. He's been deadly all throughout the season. I think Devontae Graham has been an exceptional point guard in his time as a starter in the NBA, or at least solid above league average in the position. He runs the team very well. So just having him out there will help. Having another shooter out there would help. I do think PJ Washington would be the more significant addition right now, because offensively and defensively, he just makes things fit a little bit easier, takes some of that pressure off. Now with the development here of Vernon Carey to becoming maybe a piece of the rotation, at least for the time being, it opens some things up. Look, the guys have filled in admirably with all of these absences. You look at guys like Miles Bridges, whose numbers have gone through the roof since they've had Moore asked them. Miles Bridges in his last 7 games as a starter is averaging 20 points per game. Jalen McDaniels, last 6 games as a starter, he's averaging 14 points per game. So these guys have stepped up and picked up some of the scoring, but quite frankly, just because you're moving them up into more minutes, the problem hasn't necessarily been them. It's been, well, how do you fill in behind them? Because they've got to sit down at some point, and this team has been so riddled with injuries, it's made it very, very difficult. But there is some daylight now, Rob, with both Devontae Graham and PJ Washington listed as questionable, and I might add, we are very close to the initial timeline on LaMelo Ball. LaMelo's initial injury, you'll remember he had the wrist fracture on the road. Team said he was going to have surgery and then he would be reevaluated several weeks later. Reevaluated in 4 weeks. Well, the 4 weeks date comes up on Tuesday. So that doesn't mean he comes back Tuesday. He's been in a cast. He hasn't used his right hand, at least any that we've seen, at all. So I'd find it very unlikely he comes back even the next couple weeks. But based off the initial timeline, he at least gets reevaluated. I think in the next week or so, we'll get some idea on if it is still possible for him to return this season.
The good news, though, is we've seen the past couple of games since he's been traveling more with the team and hanging out with the team more. When he's at Spectrum Center, he's been going through some pregame workouts, even though he still has that cast on his right hand. So he's been doing some dribbling drills. I know the Bally Sports crew caught him shooting a 3-pointer in the corner left-handed, and he made it and then ran off the court, just having the time of his life like LaMelo always does when he's got a basketball in his hand. So that was promising to see. Maybe he's going to switch over to being left-handed to try to make a comeback. I'm just kidding. But at the same time, though, it is promising that, you know, he's still being active. He's still in that mindset that he wants to get back as soon as possible. So we'll see what happens. But if the Hornets can even get him back for 2 weeks of the regular season, best case, being the most optimistic, everything is good, he's able to come back 100% for the final maybe 2 weeks of the season, that would be just an absolute huge boost for this team.
Certainly would, and we have seen him doing some things with his left hand. He's certainly going through some drills trying to make that a stronger piece, at least, of his game. You know, a little bit of Luke Skywalker when his hand gets cut off here and just start working with the other one.
There you go. You're starting to learn your Star Wars references now.
Slowly but surely. Slowly but surely. Well, the Hornets won't have him tonight. They'll make do with what they've got. At least, again, questionable, the latest we've heard on Devontae Graham and PJ Washington. Hopefully, help is on the way. Taking on Portland tonight, we'll break down the matchup in just a moment here on the Hornets Hivecast.
Cody Zeller knows how to finish an assist. Now you can be a part of one of his biggest plays of the season. Socks are the most under-donated item for those in need, and the Cody Zeller Sock Drive presented by Hanes is ready to attack that problem. You can help make socks a priority by donating one pack of new socks or $5 to the Cody Zeller Sock Drive, and all donations will be matched by Hanes and will benefit Roof Above. Head to Hornets.com and search Cody Zeller Sock Drive for more information.
Sam Farber and Rob Longo here with you on the HHC. It is a game day edition. Hornets taking on the Portland Trailblazers. Hope you'll join us at Spectrum Center if you can make it out for this one. If not, there are plenty more still remaining on this 2020-2021 season available to you at Spectrum Center. Go to Hornets.com for all the latest information. Portland's an interesting team, Rob. We might recall, in case you need a refresher, this was part of the long road trip in the tail end of the first half of the season where the Hornets were dealing with injuries and, you know, it was like a car running out of gas. It's coming downhill and, you know, trying to reach that gas station before everything finally just goes kaput. The Hornets were win one, lose one the whole time. Portland was a lose one. It was a game that they were particularly shorthanded. Devontae Graham, of course, didn't play the majority of that last road trip of the first half of the season, but Gordon Hayward missed that one as well, and so did Cody Zeller. So the Hornets were really shorthanded in that one. This was one of the games where P.J. Washington played but didn't shoot the ball very well. He was 1 of 8 from the floor. LaMelo Ball had one of his best games of the year, 30 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists and 4 steals, but in the end, it was not enough. Now it's time for round 2, and look, Portland's a very good team. They're in a playoff position right now in the Western Conference, which has been the tougher of the two conferences based off records. But you saw some news recently on the Trailblazers' own health availability, and maybe gives a little extra hope for the Hornets.
Well, of course, I don't believe in the announcer's jinx, but I know Friday during our halftime show and our postgame show on the Hornets Radio Network, I mentioned that Portland is probably one of the healthiest teams because they only had one player ending up on the injury report, and it wasn't even a significant one. But then Damian Lillard did not play Friday night in San Antonio, and he will not play tonight here against the Hornets. He's dealing with a hamstring injury, apparently, from what the injury report looks like, according to head coach Terry Stotts, is that he got some treatment yesterday, and there's not really a timetable for his return. And then the team goes back to Portland after tonight's game and will play the Clippers on Tuesday. And then they have a back-to-back against Denver on Wednesday. So they got a pretty tough stretch coming up the next couple of games, but no Damian Lillard tonight. And that'll make things a lot more interesting. Of course, Damian Lillard's one of the most talented scorers in the association. And he had 23 points against the Hornets last time these two teams played at the beginning of March. And it was kind of keeping him in check by his standards because he averages close to 29, 30 points per game. So no Damian Lillard tonight will make things a lot more interesting, but at the same time, the Trailblazers did get CJ McCollum back a couple of weeks ago, and he's been playing really well, and he kind of led them down the stretch Friday night in a one-point win in San Antonio.
For sure. McCollum's back. Also, Yusuf Nurkic, a very talented big who was not playing for Portland the first time the Hornets saw him. Lillard, as you mentioned, 23 points, 10 assists in meeting number one. So that's a lot of points, a lot of production that comes off the board. He's got a little bit of a Terry Rozier factor to him in that, you know, sometimes in a game like the one that they had against the Hornets, he didn't feel like the guy that necessarily won the game. But when things are close, his impact seems much larger. Just like clutch time for the Hornets has been Terry time, we all know about Dame time. So the fact that Portland was fairly comfortably ahead most of that game, at least from the start of the second half on, maybe blunted some of the impact from Damian Lillard over the course of it. Just like the last game the Hornets had on the road at Brooklyn, Terry Rozier had a really nice stat line at the end of the day with 27 points and 10 assists, but he felt like maybe the third story in that game, well behind the emergence of the rookie Vernon Carey and the career high from Miles Bridges. I don't know. Maybe that was just my perspective watching it. It's nice to have a guy who can score 27 points and maybe feel like he's faded into the background just a little bit. That's what you need to have, I guess, if you're a really good team. I think it's part of the reason why Gordon Hayward didn't always get the credit he deserved. I've said it often. Gordon Hayward, to me, affects the floor of a team and Terry Rozier has been affecting the ceiling. So Terry Rozier has been a guy who the Hornets have leaned on in some game-winning situations, a guy that Gordon Hayward has leaned on in game-winning situations, distributing him the basketball. But without Gordon Hayward, the floor falls out way more often than it used to on the Hornets in some of these games. Similarly, Damian Lillard, you know, his impact is felt everywhere in a game, but in that last one particular, in this head-to-head matchup, you know, he had kind of a common Lillard game of 23 points and 10 assists. He didn't seem to have that huge of an impact, maybe again because they didn't need him to win it down the stretch. But they won't have him tonight. They should have Nurkic and McCollum, so two other extremely valuable players that will be out there for Portland and the Hornets. They got to keep their fingers crossed that they get just a little bit healthier, because while this game is one that you would presume the Hornets might be an underdog in, given how good Portland's played and how much the Hornets have struggled, there's going to be some really important games on the horizon that Charlotte needs to be healthier for.
It just seems like the past couple nights, hearing James Borrego talk and Terry Rozier talk, that they've seemed like they feel a little deflated just because of all of these injuries piling up. I mean, Terry Rozier didn't play the other night, and then he went out and played, I think ended up with 39 or 41 minutes the other night. I mean, he barely came off the floor. So it's just interesting to see you're able to get one or two guys back from injury, how much that just boosts the morale of the team and the confidence goes up, because you know you have a little bit more depth in case maybe Terry has an off shooting night or Vernon Carey Jr. doesn't go out and drop 20 points again, and you're able to get some slack from a guy like PJ Washington, who can play at both ends of the floor if he's healthy, and Devontae Graham can get hot from beyond the arc if he is healthy as well. And you also don't know what Portland has left in the tank. I mean, you lose a guy like Damian Lillard. The game on Friday probably took a lot out of them. They had to come from behind to win that game. I think they were down about 5 with maybe 2 minutes left, and they kind of stole one. San Antonio had 2 or 3 really good looks in the final possession to try to win the game, and those games kind of take a lot out of you, and then you have to continue to fly east and take on a team like the Hornets on a really long road trip, and then you got to fly back home all the way across the country. Little things like that might play a big difference as well.
Hornets and Trailblazers, you can catch them tonight, whether you're watching on TV, on Bally South. Great crew they have there. Eric Collins, Ashley Shamedy, Del Curry, and Gerald Henderson will be on the call pregame and postgame. Or if you want to tune in with us on Sports Radio FNZ and the Hornets Radio Network as Charlotte tries once again to pick up career win number 100 for head coach JB James Borrego, and also to get back to 500 and keep that hold on the number 8 position in the Eastern Conference. Should be a lot of fun. Rob, thanks as always for joining us here on the Hornets Hivecast.
Of course, appreciate you having me.
And thanks to all of you for tuning in as well. A reminder, we'll have our post-game podcast for you tomorrow, breaking down tonight's game against the Trailblazers. Till then, for everyone here on the HHC, I'm Sam Farber, saying it's been a pleasure and a privilege having you with us today. And in the words of LaMelo Ball,
thank y'all. Have a good day. Wear your mask.
Thanks for listening to the Hornets Hivecast. For more coverage, visit Hornets.com.